3, 2, 1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. heard right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a biblical answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 855-722-4253, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. My partner on this program, David Harris, is not with us tonight. He's up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He had a doctor's appointment and couldn't get back in time. But as usual, our good friend and partner, Frank Briscoe, is with us tonight, and he'll be handling David's portion of the program. Frank preaches for the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. We're airing tonight on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KWBY 98.5 out of Stephenville, and also KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford. Now, this program is also rebroadcast at 7 a.m. on Tuesday on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. We're airing presently on that same program station, the Gospel Radio Network, an internet radio station, and we encourage you to tune in there. Even if you're listening on the radio, if you'll tune in there, you can get involved in the chat box that we have going on at this present time. Our motto is, you have heard what men have said, now listen to what the Bible has to say. This is a live call-in program on the number to call if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us questions at questions@harrisonmoore.org. That will go to my email box as well as David's. We won't be looking at that tonight, but we'll look at that. And if you have questions that you'd like to send us, or even topics that you'd like for us to discuss, be sure and email us those comments. Now, remember, this is a live call-in program, and you can also get involved in the chat room at the Gospel Radio Network. There are also podcasts that are available of this program at the harrisonmoore.org website. You go to the RSS feed at the bottom right-hand corner of the webpage, and you can sign up for the blogs. Now, our sponsors on this program not only include the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, but also the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located there on Ten Top Road, and also the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. Now, Frank, there is a fast-growing problem in our world today, and that's one of biblical illiteracy. Most people are simply ignorant of God's Word, and not just by people in the world, but sadly, Frank, even those who claim to be members of the church are really ignorant of the Bible. One fellow said, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read it. And because they don't read it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates. Well, Frank, just how bad really is Bible illiteracy in our world today?
You know, in one of the polls, or several of the polls that have been taken, it is amazing and eye-opening to see the kind of answers that are given to what we would think to be simple Bible questions. Fewer than half of all adults that can name the four gospel accounts. You know, half of them can't name you the accounts that are given of the life of Jesus. Many professing Christians cannot identify more than two or three of the apostles. 60% of Americans can't name even five of the Ten Commandments. 82% of Americans believe that God helps those that help themselves is a Bible verse. 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife.
You know, if that wasn't so sad, it'd be funny, wouldn't it?
That's absolutely so. A survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. A considerable number of the respondents to one poll indicated that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham.
You know, Frank, that really tells us just how biblically ignorant our world is today. And Frank, when we think about this biblical illiteracy, don't you think that this is one of the reasons why our nation and our families here in America are in a sad shape that they're presently in? Now, we're going to talk more about this along the way, but our families are being destroyed and our nation is being destroyed simply because people don't know the Bible and they're making decisions based upon their own will and not the will of God.
Okay. The judgments that they make, they have no basis for a right judgment or for the direction that they want the judgment to go. And consequently, as you say, we look around at the world and the nation in particular in which we live, at the sad condition that is there because people don't know which way to go. Mm-hmm. They don't know which way is right, which way is wrong.
You know, biblical illiteracy, Frank, is like a poison. It's really wreaking havoc in the lives of individuals and in our churches, in our communities. And we really, for us to understand why this is taking place, we need to understand that it is indeed a poison. Bible illiteracy is a poison, and it has a great effect on mankind, and especially on the individual. Frank, what does Hosea say about this kind of mentality of what happens when a person is really biblically illiterate or just does not know anything about the Bible?
Okay, Hosea, one of God's prophets, at the time children of Israel, particularly the northern kingdom, had gone farther and farther away from God. And in a book of Hosea, chapter 4, read two of the verses. The first verse, he said, "Hear the word of Jehovah, ye children of Israel, for Jehovah hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor godliness, nor knowledge of God in the land." And as a result, down in verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children."
You know, God had a problem with Israel, didn't he? He had a controversy with them because they lacked knowledge. And as a result of that, he says, "You're destroying yourself." And isn't it true, Frank, that God's people have always been destroyed for a lack of knowledge? Isn't that what destroys nation after nation?
And it's what destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. You know, over in the book of 2 Timothy, Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he speaks concerning the importance of knowing what it is that God has revealed to us. And a passage that's very familiar to us in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness. And while the rest of the verse there pertains to our knowing the Word, that one part that we want to focus on just a little bit, that it is that which is profitable for instruction, which is in righteousness. Mm-hmm. The right way to live is the way that God has given unto us. And without a knowledge of God's Word, we don't have righteous judgment.
Instruction in righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172 says, God's Word is righteousness. And so, isn't Paul telling us, Frank, that we can't learn what is right apart from God's Word? We can't live righteously. We can't really make the right decisions apart from God's Word.
Apart from God's Word. We are lost, and as we will look at in a little bit in the program, we'll be in darkness,
mm-hmm.
you know, without knowing which direction to go. And just to look around in the world in which we live today, looking around in the society in which we live today, the problems that we see, you know, it's not unusual. Every time you listen to the news, we don't have enough room in our prisons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number of illegitimate children, all of the things that are happening. And the bottom line is, they don't have a knowledge of God. They don't have a knowledge of His Word.
You know, not only do they not have a knowledge of it, they refuse to have a knowledge of it. It's not like it's not available. I mean, anybody could have a Bible if they want one. Anybody can read it if they would like to, but right. they choose not to. They choose to stay ignorant.
In the passage there in Hosea where he said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, the knowledge was there. I mean, they had God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't know it. They were illiterate. They had not learned what God had revealed to them.
Mm-hmm. You know, Carol on the chat room says, Frank, that those government employees making laws have generally been elected into office by biblically illiterate people. You know, so we see then that it's not only the people who are in the government who are doing these things, but also those who put them in there that's at fault in all these things. You know, so we think about this idea, and tonight we're talking about biblical illiteracy. And the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're looking tonight at biblical illiteracy, and there is a great poison that's involved with biblical illiteracy because it affects the individual. Mankind, individuals, are destroyed by a lack of knowledge, as you read a moment ago in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And God has a problem with it, Hosea 4 and verse 1, because of their lack of knowledge. But also, Amos, does he not, Frank, address this same situation?
The same problem in Amos chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord Jehovah, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of Jehovah. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro and seek the word of Jehovah and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. You know, he uses the illustration there of a famine. And, you know, a famine is when you don't have what you need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
The result of a famine, you grow weak, and ultimately you faint and you die. But the famine that's coming to them, a famine that God was going to send, was of knowing His Word. And the result, spiritually, is the same. You become weak and you die.
How dumb would it be, Frank, for people to be hungry and have a table of food before them, but they refuse to eat. They would rather starve. You know, we'd call that person a very foolish person. But isn't it not true, Frank, that there are a lot of people in our world who are just like that spiritually? God's word is readily available. It's available for anyone at any time. And yet people simply will not partake of the word of God. And in ignorance, Frank, they make wrong decisions. The world is stumbling around. They don't know where to turn, what to do, all because they lack a knowledge of God's word. Yeah, it's always available, but they choose not to partake.
Okay. You know, in John chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the manna that the children of Israel ate. And then he goes from that to the living bread, and he said, I am the bread. And here is the living bread. And how sad it is when you get to the end of that chapter that the people get up and go away. Mm-hmm. You know, here was, you know, the day before, they had thronged around him to eat fish. But when he offered them spiritual food, they got up and went home.
Yeah, you know, and we see that also happening in the religious world today, too. People are more than happy to come and sit in your audience as long as you're providing them some kind of benevolence. But once the benevolence has stopped, they're no longer really concerned. You know, they in Jesus' day, they came just for the bread. Sometimes people come just for the benevolence and aren't really concerned about the word of God. There is a famine in their lives.
To hear the gospel according to cash.
Yeah. Exactly,
you know,
right.
We discussed a religious group not long ago.
But you know, Frank, a person without a knowledge of God's word is a person that has real no direction or real guidance in life. In Psalm 119, verses 105, you know, we know this a very powerful verse, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path." We know, Frank, what it's like to walk in the darkness. How many times have we stomped our toe going from one place to another in darkness? And there's a lot of people spiritually who are in darkness. They cannot see the right way to travel. God's word is a lamp. It is a light. But because of the ignorance of God's word in the life of a lot of people, they're walking around stumbling, not knowing where to go.
The psalmist there is outlining something for us that within itself would have been such a simple thing for them to understand. You're out. You're going from one place to another. You have no light. You're in the darkness. What's going to happen to you as you try to get there? You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to hurt yourself. And he said, we're going from one place to another. But God has given us the light. It's interesting that John uses that in his introduction to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he is the light of the world, and he is the light that came and shined into the world.
Exactly. Now, we think about this idea of God's word and what it provides. You know, it gives direction and guidance. But really, Frank, no one can have true, and I underscore true, joy or peace in life without the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever." Some translations say divine heritage. "For they are the rejoicing of my heart." Psalm 119, verse 165. "Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling." Frank, how important is it for people to realize that only true joy, only true happiness can come from the word of God? You know, you think that the things of this world bring happiness, but they're fleeting. They soon pass away. And what we've got to understand is it's God's word that brings the true happiness. But people who don't have a knowledge of his word can't understand that. And to them, it seems foolish. It seems foolish because they don't have the knowledge of God's word.
Yeah. And you know, Tom, I think one of the greatest lies that Satan has ever told has been, you can't understand the Bible. Mm-hmm. There's someone out there listening to us right now, and I say, yeah, y'all talking about knowing the Bible and the knowledge of the Bible, but don't you understand how hard and how difficult it is to understand the Bible? And how many times have you had people to tell you that they don't read it because they just can't understand it?
Yeah. And they don't understand it because they haven't given it much of a shot, have they?
They just have not put themselves to it. They've not applied themselves.
You know, it's amazing that people can plead dumb or plead ignorant when it suits them. But these same people have no trouble reading the newspaper and understanding what the newspaper says or reading other things. You know, there, it's true that there are some parts of the Bible that are more difficult than others. But the passages, Frank, that deal with our salvation and how to live righteous lives, they're simple. And an elementary person could understand those verses.
Yeah. You know, God is not going to give us something by which we're going to be judged that we can't understand.
Exactly. So how many lives are being destroyed? How many people are stumbling through life because they do not have the light of God's Word guiding them? You know, our government is stumbling horribly in their decision-making. Why? Because our government and, as was mentioned on the chat room, those who elected them are biblically illiterate. Our nation was founded on Bible principles. And yet our nation, thanks to President Obama and others of the government, are moving us further and further away from biblical principles, and we are being destroyed as a nation.
We have reached the point where that which determines what we want to do is just that.
Exactly.
What is it that man wants for himself? And this is the thing that's shaping the decisions that's being made by those that are supposed to be guiding our country.
Mm-hmm. You know, not only is individuals being affected by the poison of biblical illiteracy, but also, Frank, this is having a great effect upon the church. There are a lot of people who claim to be religious, who claim to be Bible believers, who claim to believe in Jesus, who claim to want to do the right things, but they are ignorant of God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the apostle there says, "For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." You know, Frank, there are people who ought to be growing as Christians, who ought to be getting more knowledgeable in the Word of God. You know, and you've seen it, Frank, and I've seen it when we're in the pulpit and we maybe quote, turn over in your Bibles to the book of Obadiah, let's say. Well, probably a half or maybe more sometimes have to look in the front of their Bibles at the index to even know where Obadiah is. That shows biblical ignorance. That shows that they're not spending time in the book. And here in the Hebrew writer is talking about those who should grow to a point where they can be teachers, but he says, instead, I got to come back and teach you the very elementary principles of Christianity.
Okay, and at the time the book of Hebrews was written, we're not real sure on the date on that. That doesn't mean that these people need 20, 25 years in order to learn how to be teachers. It's simply a matter of applying themselves. I think far too many of them is kind of like a lady that came to me one time, Tom, said, "I want to be a teacher in Bible class," which was a great encouragement, you know, that somebody wants to be. "What age, what group do you want to teach?" And her response was, "I want to teach about the fourth and fifth grade." Mm-hmm. And I said, "When do you want to start?" And she said, "As soon as I reach a point where they can't ask me a question that I can't answer, mm-hmm. I'll start." Well, guess what?
She never started.
She never started, but she had the not. She could have taught then. She just had an excuse.
Yeah, you know, Frank, we think about the idea. Well, you know, as soon as I gain enough knowledge, I'll be a teacher. Well, you think about our school systems, our secular school systems. Our kids go to school for 4 years, and they turn right around and they're doing what? They're starting to teach.
Right.
You know, and we're some pretty tough subjects sometimes. What's wrong with our kids or our young adults or even people who become Christian? Why not give time to study? You can begin to learn the Word of God. And if they do ask a question that you can't answer, you can always say, well, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get back with you. I'll go home and do some studying about it. You know, that's part of the teaching process.
Yeah. You know, Tom, you and I have reached a point where, as I have said a time or two in different classes, that, you know, no one can ask me a question that I can't answer. Well, sometimes the answer is, well, I don't know, but I can go and find mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
You know, you can find what God has said if you can't call it to mind right then.
Exactly.
And so the opportunity to teach is there. It just takes some application on the part of one who will teach.
So not only because of biblical illiteracy do we not have enough teachers and a church languishes for the lack of teachers, but also very dangerously, Frank, the church is being led astray in many places by false teachers and false doctrine because the brethren, those in the audience, do not know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. They wouldn't know truth if it slapped them upside the face. You know, they sit there like a bunch of birds waiting for mama to drop something down their mouth, and they don't know one thing about the Bible or very little about the Bible, and they're more interested in what the preacher said. Well, he's a good-looking guy. He wouldn't be telling me the false thing. Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there who are very suave, and they try to deceive the people.
You know, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, tells us and warns us about that very thing. In 1 John chapter 4, first mm-hmm. verse, he tells us that we're not to just accept anything that comes out there. Rather, very pointedly, he tells us that we are to examine. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a responsibility on the teacher. But there's also a responsibility on the hearer.
Exactly. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, but there also arose false prophets among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And in covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise, or they will exploit you, whose sentence now from old lingereth not, and their destruction slumbereth not. Frank, people are being deceived. People are being exploited by false teachers because people are biblically illiterate. You know, I've got some friends who and some family members who are biblically illiterate, and they just don't know any better because they don't study enough.
You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, and one of the verses we're familiar with and we use very often, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he said that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But sometimes we forget to read verse 14, verse 16, which tells us why we need to study. In verse 14, he said, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them in the sight of the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, subverting those that hear. And then in verse 16, he said, but shun profane babbling, worldly talking, that they will proceed no further in ungodliness. And in between that, he said, study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the reason that we need to give the diligence to know what God's
American
word.
Standard, give diligence. I think the ESV says, do your best to make yourself approved. And so that shows that there's going to be some effort involved in doing this. So, Frank, how many churches are dying on the vine or going into wholesale apostasy because their members cannot discern between truth and error? People are ignorant of God's word, and sadly, Frank, many of them are determined to stay that way. But, Frank, there's something that we really need to talk about for the rest of our time, or for a lot of our time that we have left, and that is how biblical illiteracy affects our communities. You know, our standards of morality are being skewed, where they're being that which is good is being called evil, and that which is evil is being called good. And really, Isaiah addresses this very issue in Isaiah chapter 5 in verse 20, where he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Verse 21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You know, we look at our society today, Frank, and there are so many who are calling that which is really evil in God's sight, they're calling it good, aren't they?
All right. And you know, one of the examples of that, we slaughter innocent children and spare the guilty with no capital punishment. Abortion. You know, one of the interesting things that we've been in the news much in the last few days about this Planned Parenthood thing, that they're talking about the fact that these aborted fetuses, they don't want to call them a baby, that they have human parts. Mm-hmm. They've got a heart. They've got lungs. They've got liver. But if you notice, When the outcry came about they perhaps were selling these parts, they were more upset over the fact that they were getting money for them than they were that they were killing babies.
Exactly. And, Frank, we're probably going to be discussing that some next Monday night. And so you might want to tell your friends and tell others about the program next week, where we'll be talking about Planned Parenthood and how the millions and millions of dollars that's been given to them for the slaughtering of innocent babies, and the millions of dollars they're now making in the selling of body parts of these children. Sad, sad state of affairs.
You know, for so long they tried to tell us that these were not bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give them another name, but obviously now we see.
When you're selling parts of a child, that makes it something, doesn't it?
That makes it something different.
You know, so tonight we're looking at biblical illiteracy. The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about biblical illiteracy. We've been talking about the poison of biblical illiteracy, how it affects the individual, how it affects the church. And presently, we're talking about how that biblical illiteracy affects our communities. And our standards of morality are being skewed at where good is being called evil and evil is being called good. And Frank mentioned how that the slaughter of innocent babies, abortion, is taking place while one who is guilty of a heinous crime receives no capital punishment. Where is the justice in that? You know, people can be on death row for almost all their life, and here we are killing innocent babies and letting those involved in horrible crimes go without much punishment whatsoever. Where is the moral standard in that?
You know, we reward the wicked and punish the innocent. So many times, so many different ways.
You think this, you know, it's been strange to me, David, or Frank, that first time I called you David tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
We do reward the wicked. You know, you think about the movie stars and the entertainers, and most of them are not very righteous people. Some of them are very far from righteousness, and look, they make all the big bucks, don't they?
Right. You know, what one group, and I know very little about them, don't want to know any more about them, the Kardashian. What did they ever do?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the millions that they're worth and the millions they're getting, and they've not done anything except be very immoral.
Yeah. So we got people like that, Frank, and then outsourcing the lives of our meager salary, where you have these movies, enormous amounts of money, and are tearing down our nation. Well, that's made pretty.
There's no challenge. Depends on where you might be, but there's no place where there's a difficulty involved in divorce. It just comes down to irreconcilable difference,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't mean anything or means anything.
Well, if your wife burns your biscuits, you can get rid of her, right? You
want to be irreconcilable.
Exactly right. You know, so, but the reason all of these things are taking place, Frank, the reason our moral standard is getting so far away and getting so bad is that they have no Bible knowledge or very little Bible knowledge. And so for that reason, divorce is made easy. But also, as a result of lack of Bible knowledge and biblical illiteracy,
and by changing the name, changing what something is called to make it sound better, and instead of it being, as you said, fornication, it's just simply they're having an affair or making an adjustment in their life, or we've got together, or any of those terms now are used and people just accept it without going on.
Exactly. And so we think, and all of this, again, Frank, occurs because of biblical becomes addicted to pornography. Frank, there are a lot of people who are addicted to pornography, just like they're addicted to some drug, and it's all because lack of Bible knowledge.
Okay. And you make a point there that needs to be made, is that pornography is addictive, just as some drug would be addictive. And an individual gets involved in it, has a very difficult time getting out of it. But look at the result of it. You know, look at what happens to those that are involved in it. Families that are destroyed, lives that are destroyed. All because, as we looked at the instruction that was given by the Holy Spirit through Paul when he's talking to Timothy, instructing us in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're not instructed in righteousness, we go every man in the way that he wants to.
Exactly. And so we think about the effects that biblical literacy is having in our communities. It destroys our families, our communities. You know, when people don't have proper Bible knowledge, Frank, children are deprived of the kind of parenting that is their God-given right. How much of our world is messed up because parents don't know the biblical way to raise their kids?
You know, we were talking before the program began about some of the statistics that's come out insofar as the problems that young people are having, from minor children, delinquents, on up into young adulthood, that the percentage of them that are having these problems that come out of a one-parent household, and usually one that doesn't have a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are being raised in a position that makes life for them extremely difficult.
Yeah,
we get into those type of situations simply because we don't have Bible knowledge. We don't know what God would have them to do.
You know, and that's a very sad scenario that so many kids are being raised up to be hoodlums. They're going to fill our jails. And you were telling me, Frank, about one of your friends who was doing some work in a prison. And what did he find about, oh, that was with regard to their intellect. They were like at a fifth grade.
Average education level of an inmate is fifth grade.
You know, that tells me that there's not been much Bible being. You know, if you just study the Bible, you're going to do better than that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And so we've got families who are being destroyed. Now, again, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Frank, this biblical illiteracy is leading to a great number of juvenile delinquency and even greater evils because simply the people are not being indoctrinated with the Word of God. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it tells that we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. It's this knowledge of God's Word that's going to provide us with how to be a good husband or a good wife, how to be a good, a good anything, and how to be righteous.
You know, what we're saying is there has to be a standard.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something that is set there that guides and gives some direction and information as to the end that is desired. And without biblical knowledge, without a knowledge of God, there's no moral direction.
And what we're seeing today, Frank, is what occurred in Judges. In Judges 21 and verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Well, when people don't put Jesus as their king, then they go about doing whatever is right in their own eyes. And that's why we're in the problem that we're in. Well, Frank, you know, we look at this and we want to say, man, this is a bad scenario. Man, how are we ever going to get out of this? Well, there is an antidote to this. There is an antidote to this poison. Indeed, it's going to require effort on our part. And the first antidote, Frank, to biblical literacy is daily devotional Bible reading. You're going to have to get reading a book.
You know, it's as simple as setting aside a certain amount of time. This is the time I'm going to have that I'm going to read the Bible. And if we do not plan, it's not going to happen. You know, if we just say sometime or someday I'm going to start reading the Bible, it's probably never going to get here.
Exactly. You know, I think of Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, where it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You know, Frank, I was looking at this the other day. You know, sometimes you've read a passage a lot of times, and you've always missed something here. It was always there. I guess, overlooked it looking at other things. But it talks about how that we should meditate day and night upon God's Word. And then I asked myself a question, Frank. How can we meditate on something that we don't even know? You know, can you meditate upon God's Word day and night if you don't even know God's Word? That shows the importance of study.
It'd be an absolute impossibility. You can't meditate upon something that you do not know.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to give time to reading. You know, there is a devotional type of reading, Frank, where we read God's Word. A systematic practice of prayerful Bible reading is a part of a daily devotional. You know, and when we read about God, aren't we going to learn more about God and then become more like God, to become closer to God?
The more we learn, the closer to God we come. And we can only approach God, we can only come close to God by knowledge of God.
Mm-hmm. And so we think about that idea, Frank. We need to ask our audience and ourselves, are we willing to do our part every day in stamping out biblical illiteracy by being involved in daily devotional Bible reading? But, Frank, that's not enough. You know, a lot of times that's all people do is just devotional quick reading of a Bible verse or a chapter. But isn't it true, Frank, we also need in-depth Bible study if we're going to really stamp out biblical illiteracy?
You know, the first thing you buy your child when you start him school, you give him a dictionary. You want him to learn the meaning of the word. How many people have a Bible dictionary?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that have been willing to, you know, invest a little bit in getting those things that help us to study and to learn and to understand.
You know, the Vine's Expository Dictionary is the very first one I bought when I was in school, and it's in English, and so you don't have to know the Greek language to look up words. And if you don't know the meaning of words, then you don't know the meaning of a text. And there are a lot of words that we just kind of overlook or take for granted, or just say, well, I don't know what that means, and just go on. If you don't know what it means, what should we do, Frank?
We need to look in the dictionary.
Exactly right.
Find the meaning.
And don't look in Webster's dictionary for biblical words. Look in something like Strong's or Vine's Expository Dictionary. And if you'd like more information about that, if you will email us at questions@harrisonmoore.org, we'll help you to find something that will help you in your Bible study. You know, in Hebrews at chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called a day, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For if we are become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end." You see, Frank, faithful Christians realize the value of mutual edification. You know, you and I and David, when we come together and we bat things back and forth, it is some of the most special time in my life in Bible study. Studying by yourself is okay, but how great is it to bat things back and forth among minds who are striving to do the will of God? And so it's important for us to dig in and help one another.
Okay. And you know, this is exactly what the Bible teaches us to do. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, the writer of the Hebrew letter tells us there, he said, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near." You know, all of the passage there is centered around the fact that we are to encourage and help and to teach one another.
Exactly right. And so we think about this idea, Frank, of the antidote to biblical illiteracy. We need to be involved in daily devotional Bible reading. We need to be involved in frequent, in-depth Bible study with others. And also, Frank, something very important is that another antidote to biblical illiteracy is parents accepting their God-given responsibility in teaching their children. Frank, parents have a very powerful responsibility, do they not, in that regard?
Okay, and not only do we find it now, but this is something that God has always required of parents, that they make provision, put forth the effort to see to it that their children know God. In Deuteronomy, beginning in chapter 6, he said, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah our God is one Jehovah. And thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk to them when thou sittest down in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when you lie down, and when you raise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and it shall be for a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the doorposts in thy house and upon thy gates. In other words, what God was saying and instructing the parent to do, it's your responsibility to see that your children know me.
You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and the admonition of the Lord." You know, Frank, there are a lot of congregations who hire youth ministers to do the work that parents ought to be doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not totally opposed to youth ministers if they're really involved in teaching our young people. A lot of times what they're more concerned with is just having fun and games with them. But it's the parents' responsibility, not the youth minister, not the preacher, not the Bible class teacher, although they have responsibility. But the major responsibility relies upon the parents to teach their children. And the parents can't teach what they do not know.
Absolutely. I have had, and you have too, those that come to you and say, "Well, the church let me down. They didn't teach my children." They handed them off to the church. And, you know, there's a limited amount of information that can be shared in a 30-minute Sunday morning Bible class.
Exactly.
That's good. They need to be there. But they need a lot more than just that.
You know, you talk about, 45 minutes of Bible class, 30 minutes of a sermon, another 30 minutes that evening, another 45. You know, we're talking about 3 hours of study. But how much time do our kids spend in front of a secular TV or before a secular teacher? Parents need to fill more of their lives with the Word of God so that they can stem the tide of biblical illiteracy.
Our parents need to be made to feel the responsibility that lies upon them as the parent to see that their children come to a knowledge of God's Word.
And so the question that we have for you tonight, are you willing to accept your parental duties to stamp out biblical illiteracy? One final thing tonight, Frank, and this is probably where we'll have to end tonight, and that is another way to stamp out, another antidote to biblical illiteracy is for preachers to fulfill their duty to the Word of God. Preachers have a responsibility, don't they, Frank?
Absolutely. And again, we go back to the message that Paul gave to Timothy, and he just as simple as he could put it, he said, "Preach the word."
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say tell stories. You know, give illustrations. He said preach the word.
You know, and there's a lot of preachers out there, Frank, who do little study. They, you know, they might be good visitors. They might make a nice presentation that makes everybody laugh. But where's the learning? Where's the teaching? You know, the word preacher means to proclaim the good news. Is that not right?
He is the herald. He is the one that is to make it, to make the message known.
You know, a very powerful passage in this regard, Frank, is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. That says, "Take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee." Now, Frank, when a preacher is not doing his job, here I see that he's losing his soul. And also, the souls of those who are listening to him are being lost as well. But on the other hand, if a preacher is doing his job, he saves himself, of course, by the grace of God. But also, those who are listening and adhering to what he says are also receiving the needed salvation.
This is the message that God gave us through Ezekiel a long time ago. He told Ezekiel, "Here's the message, you preach it to the people. That's your responsibility. The people can hear it and obey it, or they can hear it and not obey it. That's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you put the message out there, their blood will be held, you will be held responsible for their blood. It'll be on your head.
You know, back to that passage you were mentioning a moment ago, Frank, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5, it says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. Preachers have an obligation to preach the word, as you mentioned, in season, out of season. I remember Marshall Keeble always says, preach it to them when they don't want to hear it and when they do want to hear it. And do so, you know, it's important that a preacher fulfills his obligations.
Well, you know, Tom, we cannot believe more than what we know. And we cannot live higher than our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the responsibility that is placed upon us to come to a knowledge of God's word, come to a knowledge of the truth, so that we can lift ourselves up and live where God would have us to live.
Exactly. And, you know, and without the preacher fulfilling his responsibility, being men of the book, you know, this is a lot harder for the people to do. When they get a constant diet of pop theology and pop philosophy, they're not going to be fed what they need to be fed. One fellow said, Frank, as we begin to draw to a close, churches must recover the centrality and urgency of biblical preaching and teaching and refuse to sideline the teaching ministry of the preacher. Preachers and churches too busy or too distracted to make the Bible knowledge as central aim of their ministry will produce believers who simply do not know enough to be faithful disciples. There are too many, Frank, who are more interested in fun and games than they are about doing the will of God. Frank, we're about to come to a conclusion of our lesson today. We've been talking about biblical illiteracy and how that has hurt individuals, our families, and our nations. And my friends, it's time that we get back to teaching what the Bible says and to be men and women of the book, and that we stamp out Bible illiteracy by reading the Bible, by teaching it to our families, and by preachers getting back to preaching the Bible and not all this pop philosophy. It's been a great delight to have you in our audience this evening. We hope that you'll tune in next week at this same time, at this same channel. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. and call in with any question or comment. 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-722-4253. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say.